Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. A warm welcome to you if you're new or visiting with us this morning. Good morning, Simone. Let's pray as we open up God's word. Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to gather this morning. We think of Christians around the world this morning who do not have the freedom to gather in safety. Would you protect them and grow your church there? And would you grow your church this morning through us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Around the world this morning, there are churches gathering in cathedrals, churches gathering in mud huts, churches gathering in living rooms, churches gathering in buildings like this. And pretty much all of them will be singing. Pretty much all of them will be singing. I wonder if you've ever stopped and thought about how unique it is that every week we sing. About 20 minutes of every service is singing. Now that's almost as much as the sermon. And there aren't many other places in society where we sing. Maybe happy birthday, maybe at a sports game, a bunch of people at the Swans last night, I know, probably some singing there. But there aren't many other places where we sing. And let's be honest, there's a lot of opinions out there about singing. Should we have the drums? Should we not have the drums? Should we have the organ? Should we have the guitar? Should we have Hillsong? Should we have hymns? The music's too loud. The music's too quiet. There's too many new songs. Slow down. There's not enough new songs. Bring them on. So many different opinions out there. One thing's for sure, across all of time, Christians have always sung. They have always sung. We sing with deep joy because we have so much to sing about. And mere words alone are not enough. God is so great, so loving, so kind, so powerful. He has done so much for us in saving us through Jesus. Mere words alone are not enough. We have to erupt into song. And so this morning, whether or not you have a good voice or not, in fact, whether or not you like the music style we have here or not, I hope you love to sing. I hope you love to sing. It's all through the Bible. All through the Bible, there's singing. Did you know there was singing when God made the world at creation? In the book of Job, the Lord says to Job that when he laid the foundation of the earth, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There are songs in the Bible from Moses, Miriam, Deborah, Barak, David, Hannah. The biggest book in the Bible is literally a songbook, the book of Psalms. Jesus at the Last Supper, he sung a hymn with his disciples. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're singing a hymn to Jesus. And then across the New Testament, there are hymns to Jesus in the book of Romans and Philippians and Colossians and Timothy and Hebrews. And then you fast forward to the picture of the new creation in the book of Revelation. What's going on there? Singing. Singing. God's people have always done it. And so this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. We have been walking through the book of Ephesians, and we're up to Ephesians 5. And rather than look at the whole chapter, we're actually going to focus on those last few verses about singing. Ephesians 5 is all about how we are to walk in the light as Christians. In response to what Jesus has done for us, walk and live for him. And Ephesians 5 says a whole bunch of things we're to do in response to Jesus, but one of them is singing. Let me read verse 18 once again. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Firstly, he says, don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Last week on our weekend away, Diana got up on the Sunday morning and said, "What did everyone do in free time?" Turns out most of you were at bars and breweries, and this is a coincidence that we're looking at alcohol today, all right? I promise. I promise. We are a nation that loves to drink. A stat came out in 2022 that 1 in 4 adults had drunk more than 10 drinks in the last week. We love to drink as a nation. And as Christians, we're free to drink alcohol. It is one of God's good gifts, but we are not free to get drunk. We are not free to get drunk. Why? Well, it says here that alcohol can lead to debauchery and reckless living. It makes you lose control. It can lead to, well, think of how many car accidents and fights and injuries and cheating have happened as a result of drunkenness. As Christians, we're to flee. Flee from all sin. Not even get a little bit tipsy, but run from all sin. And that includes drunkenness, friends. Instead, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Not be filled with spirits. That's not what he's saying. The Holy Spirit. See, instead of being intoxicated by alcohol, we're intoxicated by Jesus. Alcohol is a depressant in your brain. It's not a stimulant. But the Holy Spirit is a stimulant, stimulating us to live for Jesus, spurring us on to honor Christ. Now, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. We saw that earlier in the book of Ephesians. Every Christian. So when it says be filled with the Spirit, this is not Paul saying that we need a top-up. It's not Paul saying that every Christian, you know, every now and then, you just need a top-up of the Holy Spirit because you might run out a little bit of him. He's not saying that. It's not praying that we have more of the Holy Spirit. It's praying that the Spirit would have more of us. It's not praying that we have more of the Holy Spirit. It's praying that the Spirit would have more of us. To be filled with the Spirit is saying, Holy Spirit, would you transform me to make me more like Jesus? Holy Spirit, would you fill me and strengthen me so that I can have boldness to share Jesus today? Holy Spirit, would you grow in me the fruit of the Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you fill me for ministry today? I need your empowering. I need your strength. And that's a continual prayer that Christians, I think, need to pray. You always got the Holy Spirit. But we are called to keep on being filled and keep asking for his empowering, his transformation, and that he would have more of us. Now, what is the sign of a Spirit-filled Christian? What is the sign of a Christian who is filled by the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul says a few things. One of the things he says is submitting to one another, which we're going to look at next week as we start to talk about husbands and wives and children and family relationships. And I'm sure you'll all be there for that sermon next week. But what he says beforehand is one of the signs of a Spirit-filled believer is singing. It's singing. Because when we follow Jesus and we know what he's done for us and God's Spirit is not only made home in our lives but is empowering us and filling us with his fruit, it overflows into song. And we don't often think about the fact that singing is a command. But it is. It's a command. It's not an optional extra in the service. It's not a 10 minutes of buffer at the beginning of the service so that if you're running a little bit late, it's okay because you only miss the songs. We are, as a church, like the choir, the band up the front, are like the conductors. And as we gather each Sunday, we're not there to watch a show. Though, of course, nothing wrong with musical excellence and brilliance. And we have a great band. There's nothing wrong with that. But what they're doing is leading us, the choir, as we sing and praise God. I remember back coming out of lockdown. And we were allowed to meet at church, but we weren't allowed to sing. Do you remember that? And we just had to stand there. It was weird. And I said to myself, I will never take singing for granted again. What's going on when we sing? I want you to imagine some different directions. Down, across, up. Down, across, and up. And I don't normally do this, but for the visual learners, I've had a go. Have a look at this. Here's the first one. That's Microsoft PowerPoint for you. There we are. Down. The first thing that happens when we sing, and we don't think about this one much, is that God is addressing us. Isn't that interesting? As we sing, God is actually speaking, ministering to us. On the screens is Colossians chapter 3. This is what Colossians 3 says. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See, when we sing, the message of Jesus dwells amongst us. That's because a lot of the songs that we are singing are filled with truths from Jesus, filled with his word, and he is ministering to us. One of the key teaching moments in church is singing. It's been said before, show me a church's songs and I'll show you their theology. That's why it is so important that the songs that we sing are grounded in God's word. Because God is ministering to us. He's reminding us of who he is. He's reminding us of what he's done. And so we don't ever want to sing songs that contradict God's word. We want songs that are filled with the words of Jesus, so that as we sing, he's ministering to our hearts, reminding us of the gospel, reminding us of the scriptures. I wonder how often when you sing at church, are you thinking about the words? And are you listening to what is being proclaimed? That's the first direction. It's down. God speaks to us. Number two, it's a cross. It's a cross. There you go. You're proud of me. We sing to each other. There's an cross element, a horizontal element. When I was at Bible college, we used to have to go to chapel every week, and there was an old chapel that we'd sit in where the pews faced each other. You know those old churches? I used to play a game with my mates where we would stare each other down during the songs. Lock eyes. Whoever turned away first lost. And it was great fun. I'm not suggesting that when we gather as a church, we all face each other or stand in a big circle. But it's important when we sing that we remember the horizontal element, because it's there. Look at verse 19, back of Ephesians 5. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. See, church, you could just sing at home in your room, and I hope you do. But there is something so special about gathering and hearing the voices of our brothers and sisters worshiping the Lord together. It's one of the many reasons why online church is so deficient. So many of our songs, we actually address each other. Come and bless the Lord with me. Sing if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. We're actually addressing each other there, saying, let's worship the Lord. Do you know how good God is? Yes. Psalm 95, many of the psalms are focused on each other. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to God. See, what do we do when we sing? We're teaching each other. We've looked at that already. We're also encouraging each other. Up on the screens is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, what then should we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. When we come together and we sing a hymn or a song, it is to build one another up. I can think of times I've come to church and I have felt weak and I have felt down and burdened and I have struggled to sing. But in those moments, your singing has voiced what I needed to say. As I have heard you sing behind me and around me and in front of me, you have ministered to me. And maybe this morning you're grieving or you're struggling and, you know, a hymn comes like, great is thy faithfulness. And maybe you are not in the place where you can belt that out to the Lord. But you can hear your brother or sister belt it out and be reminded and comforted by those truths that perhaps you're not in the place to be able to sing yourself. Next time you're singing, just remember, you may be singing for someone else this morning. Because there is that horizontal element. We are speaking to one another, pointing one another to Jesus, spurring one another on. So we got the downwards. God speaks to us. We've got the horizontal. We sing to one another. And lastly, we've got upwards. We sing to God. It's there in Ephesians. Look at verse 19 again. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. We are worshiping God. We are thanking him. We are honoring him. We are lifting his name on high. We are praising him, telling him how much we love him and adore him. We are singing to him. We sing from our hearts, it says there, make music from your heart. The heart is the center of your being. It's where Jesus lives by his spirit. It's the core of who you are. And it does involve your emotions. Some of you might have come from an anti-emotional church background, where in your church, there's always suspicion about emotions. Let's not get too emotional. Always suspicion. The Bible's filled with emotions. God wants our emotions, and we sing to him from our heart. There's a problem with emotionalism. Emotionalism is emotions that are not built on the Word of God. It involves manipulation and all kinds of things like that. That's a problem, but emotions that spring from who God is, what he's done, and his Word, that is a good thing. And so you may pump your fist with joy as you sing, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. And you may open your hands in surrender as you sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, well, what about if I don't feel any emotions? Should I sing then? Of course you should. It's still good to go to the gym, even if you don't feel like it. It's still good to sing, even if your heart feels distant. And you know what? Sometimes as you sing, your heart may follow. Often your affections and your heart emotions lag behind. You can sing as an act of faith, believing God's word is true and singing to praise him. And your emotions, they may follow. And we're all wired differently as well, aren't we? Got to be careful about making judgment calls about people's emotions and heart based on external things, because only the Lord sees the heart. Isn't that true? So we sing from our heart and we sing with thankfulness. Verse 20 is not just about singing, but it certainly applies to singing. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Yeah, it's so easy to be grumblers. But there is no one more worthy of our praise. No one more worthy of our adoration. He sets our hearts on fire, and so we sing to him. As a church, we got to remember all three of these directions. Some churches have the horizontal, but forget the vertical. They do the horizontal really well, singing to one another, building one another up, teaching one another. That's brilliant. But forget the fact that as we meet, we are gathering with God, worshiping our Creator, meeting with him. Other churches have the other way around. They're really good at the vertical, worshiping the Lord. But as they're there with their eyes shut, they may as well just be there on their own with no one else around them. Now, there's nothing wrong with having your eyes shut, by the way. It's actually quite helpful often. I love doing it. But if it's just the vertical, just you and God, and you forget there is a horizontal element, singing to others, hearing others sing to you, then we're at a loss. It is both. We worship God together. We spur one another on to praise him. They are not in competition. Down, God speaks to us. Across, we sing to each other. And up, we sing to God. There's actually a fourth element when we sing, which we don't have time to look at. It's outwards. In the Bible, often as God's people sing, outsiders hear. non-believers hear and are drawn to God. But as we finish, I hope you notice what I haven't said so far. It's probably what you might have hoped I've said, I would say. We have not covered whether you should have drums or an organ. We haven't covered whether there should be instrumental verses or not. We haven't covered whether there should be new contemporary songs or old hymns. We have not got there because it is not about that. There is a place for those conversations, of course. We want to love one another and care for people's needs and put others first. And sometimes there may be a place for compromise in terms of music styles and all those things. Those conversations, they have a place, of course. But we must not let our preferences get in the way of our participation. We must not let our preferences get in the way of our participation. My fear, though, is that often all these important things about singing, they fade away, and what we focus on is our preferences. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if I said, from now on, all the music here at Macquarie Park would be led on the bagpipes? Kate would stay. Good. We've got Kate. Be honest. What would you do? From now on, every song, bagpipes. Be honest. Some of you are already thinking about leaving. Shut the doors. Now, it's not going to happen. But he's, honestly, those kinds of questions, they cause this question, what do we really value when we sing? Is it our preferences, or is it hearing God address us, praising him, and singing to one another? You know, there's one rule here at this church. It doesn't matter whether your voice is good or not. Just sing loud. Just sing loud. Because words alone, they're not enough to capture who God is and what he has done for us. We have so many reasons to sing because we have such an incredible God. So as the band comes up to lead us in song, I'm going to pray for us. God, there are so many reasons for us to erupt in song and erupt in praise. You are so mighty, loving, forgiving, good. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and his forgiveness, and his death for us on the cross, and his resurrection. We give you great thanks for your faithfulness and your kindness and your mercy and your love. We pray that as we sing, we would put aside preferences and we would seek to hear, to have you dwell amongst us richly. That we would seek to build one another up, spurring one another on. And that we would sing loudly from our hearts, making music to you, our Lord and our King. Amen.